Well, if you've not been with us for the last however long, we have, delved, I guess, right into the middle of something that I have kind of just let alone for a few years. So much abuse. And we've almost now made many of us, the church-wide, not talking about us specifically, but we've, because of abuse, how many know that just because something is abused in the Word does not mean that that which is abused is not good in and of itself? And people can take a certain thing. For example, you can take prophecy. How many in here, your life course was completely changed when somebody who was obedient to God spoke a word of prophecy? Someone didn't even know that's what they were doing. They just come up and said, I feel led of the Lord to tell you, if this is God, let it, and it bears witness with you. I just want to let you know this is what the Lord is speaking to me. And I love people who approach it that way, humbly. And man, I've had some people just speak right into my life, and it confirmed and affirmed something that the Holy Spirit, how many know we're not led by prophecy or a prophet anymore? We are the son, if we are a son or a daughter of God, you are led by the Spirit of God, not prophecy. But let me tell you something, the gift of prophecy will certainly affirm and confirm supernaturally. I mean, just put nitrous to your dreams when somebody speaks into your life and says, I don't know where you're at, but I just have been praying for you, and I feel that the Lord wants you. And as they speak, it just is like, ka-dunk. Isn't that awesome? How many in here, don't raise your hands, have been hurt or know somebody who has been hurt desperately by not prophecy, but people attempting to operate in the gift of prophecy or moving into areas and trying to control and manipulate through prophecy? Now, that probably is a lot bigger crowd. But how many know we need to be careful not to throw the baby out, an overused cliche, throw the baby out with the bathwater? Let me come to this side and ask you then. How many know we need to be very careful about not throwing the baby out with the bathwater? Yeah. Now, right now, if you haven't been with us, you might be in for a little bit of a shock, because what we've been dealing with for a number of weeks is the topic of faith. But I'm trying to, by the Holy Spirit, and I believe that the Holy Spirit, He's the one that handles the revelation in any way of the hearer, that faith ceases to be a topic or a message or a word that comes with an association of past confusion and pain, and rather comes back to where it is supposed to be in the life of the believer. For at least four times, the scripture says, the most well-known one is in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, declares that the just shall live by faith. Now, we spent a number of years, I just stayed, and we tap on it because I've realized the importance, but I feel like there was such a struggle, not just within our body, but you can see it body-wide. I mean, get on the internet or watch TV on Sunday mornings. I am so glad personally for the explosion of the grace message. It has truly, truly set me free. Not free to do whatever I want. How many know that Moses gave the law, John 1:17, Moses gave the law, but grace and truth came to me by Christ Jesus. Grace and truth. So grace and truth are put into, by the Word of God itself, put in opposition to the law in reference to what Jesus came to do for you and I. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we no longer relate to the Father through Jesus by the law, but now through grace and truth. Grace did not set you in the middle of a sea of freedom without a compass. And this is where a lot of the grace camp has gone, and I'm not criticizing anybody, and I understand the concerns. But I'm glad that grace and truth came to me through Jesus. So grace came with a compass. It came with truth. What does Ephesians 2 tell us? That by grace through faith we're saved. How many know that we live because of His grace by faith every day? Once again, I've quoted these over and over again, and I hope that you can preach this message with me by the time we get done. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and we can say that together with him. How many know what Galatians 2:20 says? Hey, I heard it. That's awesome. We're getting somewhere. I was crucified with Christ. This is speaking of us, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. How many are glad today for the faith of the Son of God? He didn't leave it all up to you. Even your faith is a gift from Him. I live by the faith. Would you make that confession and profession of faith with me today? Say it with me all over the room. I live. I don't just exist. Come on, say it. I don't just exist. I don't just get by. Come on, say it like you mean it. I don't just cope. I live. Say it one more time. I live. I supernaturally live by the faith. You can't live by the faith of the Son of God without it being supernatural. Say with me, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Here's what grace did for me. It convinced me after years of ministry of the next phrase, who loved me? And gave himself for me. Let's stop just a minute one more time. Come on, hands in the air. Ooh, Jesus, how we love you. How we love you. Thank you, Lord. You deliver us from church and religion and ritual and ritualistic nonsense. And by your word, we return to a living relationship, whether it's inside these, I was going to say four walls, but we have multiple walls in here. Hallelujah. I was talking to somebody yesterday. Let's see, it was John Corbett. I don't see him today. We were talking about my trip to Israel back a couple years ago, and I've seen so many people approach the Wailing Wall and talk about how much they sensed God. Now, I realize God will meet you where you're at. Are you with me? But my experience was not that way at all. After visiting with some Jewish boys, and they helped me put on a kippah that was kind of a requirement and showed me how to wash my hands just right. Boy, my heart just torn out of me for these lost Jewish boys. Don't know Jesus, still looking for the Messiah. And walking up to that wall that they don't even know if that part of the wall is even what they think it is. And what I sensed when I walked up to that wall, you didn't see me praying and sticking no. I am a born again, spirit-filled, new covenant, Bible-believing Son of Jesus, our Messiah. Are you with me? Grafted in together with Israel. No replacement here. Grafted in now and together one spiritual Israel. Are you with me? Every man through Jesus stood there at that wall. And what the Lord let me feel that day was the most incredible blackness, darkness, loneliness, distance from God I think I've ever felt in my life. Maybe a few places on the mission field when Jack and I are on the mission field. Incredible. And then I heard the Lord tell me this: I'm not here. For I now walk in the corridors of the hearts of men. Amen. Woo! Then all of a sudden I felt something. And it wasn't from the Wailing Wall. It was the revelation of Jesus. Say with me today, I walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. How many are glad for Jesus today? Amen. So the grace of God and an understanding of His love for me opened me up, and now I feel it's safe for me, and I believe the Holy Spirit will help me deliver this in such a way that we don't go back to rituals and taking a new covenant reality, the law of faith, and turning it back into a legalistic standard, a work, a formula, but rather keeping it in relationship. We learn, because if the Bible declares the just shall live by faith, then guess what? Those of us who are just ought to be living by faith. As I've said the last several weeks, and I'm going to repeat it again, redundancy on purpose. It doesn't say the just shall live by grace. That's God's part. He's already poured it out. Jesus said, it is finished. Superabounding tidal wave overpayment beyond our ability to ever understand. Remember, Ephesians 2 tells us that it is God's glory to reveal His grace, the riches, the wonders of His grace for ages to come. So don't think grace a little deal. That's God's part. For ages to come, you're bored of grace, you're going to be bored in heaven, because that's what He wants to show us for ages to come, the revelation of His goodness. Isaiah 54, covenant of kindness that will last forever. How many are glad for Jesus today? Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? Oh, man. Okay, so I'm so glad for that. But what we're talking about now is faith. Today, we're going to go right to the middle. We're going to dig a little bit deeper. We're going to go into a scripture that ironically has become controversial. In fact, when I bring up the scripture, you can see certain people roll their eyes. Oh, he's one of those. Excuse me, one of who? Who is talking? Yes, but that's that word of faith verse. Excuse me? That's not a word of faith verse. That's a verse in your Bible. And if you have certain King James Bibles, you'll notice that it is highlighted in red, meaning it is the words, or these are the words of Jesus to His own, and we now are part of that bunch. Are you here today? Turn with me if you would, then. What an introduction, right? Wow! Last week, we located the problem with many of us. It's under our nose, our mouth. Proverbs 18:21. How many can quote this with me now? How many know what Proverbs 18:21 says? Proverbs 18:20. You got to learn this, or I'm not doing a good job preaching. Or maybe I'm doing too good of a job preaching and not teaching enough. I'll take the hit. All right, Proverbs 18:21. I just heard somebody say, death and life are in the tongue. They're in the power of the tongue. And we're going to eat the fruit of what we say. A song that I heard years ago by a guy by the name of David Ingalls says, we are the total of our talking today. We are the total of our talking yesterday. Now, we've hit grace enough that the last thing you should feel right now is condemned. You should be getting excited, because Jesus always gives a way of escape. Aren't you glad for that? So let's turn and look at Mark chapter 11. What a thrill it is to be able, in a whole new light, under a whole new feeling and attitude, to be able to examine the words of Jesus without the constraints of so much, and granted, so much silliness. But listen to what Jesus says. This is Mark chapter 11. Verse 22, and let's go ahead and read. I know we have tapped this a few times. We've used it as an example. I've never turned there, but I've said it says over in, and then we would quote a little bit of it and use it for what we were talking about. But I want us to look at it together. Mark chapter 11, starting at In verse 12, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. Now there's a lot of prophetic stuff going on here that that's not my point today at all. I'm not going to go into that, but there's some beautiful prophetic, for lack of a better term, overtones is not the right word at all. Prophetic stuff going on here. How's that for words? Stuff. Okay. He says here in 12, he says, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered, there is a what's the word? Gardening. Something culture. Starts with an H. Horticultural reason for this. If you go in and study it, I'm not going to get into all that. That's not my point. There's a lot behind this. But I want to show you what Jesus teaches them. And it's simple. Okay? He says, and seeing the fig tree afar off having leaves, he came happily, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered, which is interesting. He answered what? Was the tree talking to him? You betcha it was. Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And something else, it isn't here in Scripture, but you could put it in there easily without hurting anything. They didn't say anything. Because they were probably looking at him going, okay. So they go into Jerusalem. Now I want you to jump all the way down to verse 20. And in the morning, returning, see, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Noticed where the words that Jesus spoke went to work. They went to work in the unseen realm. Nothing appeared to change at all on the surface. Words were spoken. Everybody stood around saying, what, is he crazy? Nothing's happened. He made this statement. Everything remains the same. But returning, they passed by and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Pretty awesome. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. I love Peter. He just blurts it out. The fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, something's happening right here because he's getting ready to take something that they are now watching. And he's going to use this as an opportunity to teach them some things. How many are open and receptive to learn today with me? Together with me. He is getting ready to teach them some things about faith. It's amazing how the people will get upset, so upset about what somebody else said. How many are like me? Somebody says something that you don't deserve, or they say something about somebody or something you love, and man, we get angry. We get all upset about what somebody else said. How many are growing in faith and growing in love and growing in Jesus and letting what somebody else says affect you less and less? Because it's not what somebody else says that will change the course of your life. It is what you say that changes the course of your life. It's the words of your mouth, what you say, that make the difference. Are you with me today? a guy years ago, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. I don't agree with everything he says, but he was a man who God certainly used to bring some truth. He'd been attacked unfairly on so many levels. I knew people that were close to him said he was a man who truly walked in the love of God, a man who walked in integrity. You can see in the course of his ministry and those that have come behind him, in his immediate family and those that are around him there, the proof of the puddings and the eating thereof, he used to say, and it certainly is true in his life and his home and in everything else. So how many know nobody is perfect? Are you with me? How many love Chuck Smith? Received from Chuck Smith years ago. I don't agree with everything Chuck Smith says, but I love the man. He's since gone on to be with Jesus. He told us that Jesus was coming back for sure in 1996. Did I say, you're crazy? I'm never going to listen to anything you say ever again? No. No. How many know that men are fallible? Are you with me? Nobody's perfect. But the Word of God is. That's why it's important for you to live by the Word of God that you take before Jesus, and knowing that He promised to send the Holy Spirit to lead you in truth, to guide you, and to bring to remembrance that which He has said. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit today that shows us truth? Okay, Brother Hagin years ago, he said something so simple. He said, if you're not happy with what you have in life, check out what you have been saying. And again, as I said last week and the week before, I'm not up here to say, like you've heard so many people say, that just everything that comes out of your mouth is going to happen. But that which begins to come out of your mouth on a regular, continual basis, and it works two ways. Words spoken enough will cause a heart belief. And Jesus said, words emanate from a heart belief. For out of the abundance of the heart, he said, the mouth speaks. Are we still here this morning? Okay, so this it works both ways. And then there is a speaking forth the truth of God's word, which also builds faith. So it's a beautiful reciprocation here. Are you following me? Beautiful how it works, this whole thing. He says, if you're not happy with what you have in life, check out what you have been saying. I love not the stuff they have now. I don't consider it country music. I don't know what it is. They didn't only hit the guardrails, they flipped over the guardrails, and they're 500 feet down somewhere by Oak Creek. I don't know what happened. But at any rate, but a lot of your old, I love a lot of the traditional stuff that came back, like Randy Travis and Paul Overstreet back in the 80s and 90s. And then you go back to my granddad who raised our family on country music, played country music, performed country, the whole deal. I love country music. To me, there's nothing like steel guitars and triple fiddle. Don't shoot me. Come on. You have your likes, and I'm just telling you mine. If I had it my way, we'd have triple fiddles and steel guitar right here on Sunday morning. Who knows? We might do it anyway. So, but I absolutely love it. But let me tell you something. Words put to music carry with them certain truths or untruths that come with huge emotion. Baby blue, George Strait, was the color of her eyes. Baby blue, like the call. Some of you are already swooning. Yeah. It's a song about lost love. It's a song about breakup. It's a song about broken relationship. It's a song that it's so beautiful. It sounds so nice. And it grips you and you find yourself singing along. Rap. Ha! You thought I was going to pass you up. Rap. Believe it or not, there are many who consider rap an art form. My son-in-law actually rapped during our worship, may do it again someday, and people who hate rap cried under the anointing as he rapped the goodness of God. I don't care for rap personally. My daughter married a rapper. She loves rap. But she loves Jesus rap, okay? But how many know there is a rap? Now, I don't get it. All right, but I can't condemn it anymore, and they can condemn me for the other. But how many know words are powerful? And when words are put together with emotion, sadness, anger, sorrow, of loss, different things, when words are tied to a relationship and emotion, they become very, very strong. And there are people I've watched in my own family as uncles and aunts and cousins have literally lived out the life that they sung about for years and wonder what happened. Only until now, my Uncle Brian, been on the Grand Ole Opry twice, knew all the big boys. You know how maybe someday he'll tell you this testimony himself. Drugs with a producer took his whole, a rising star, top 40 on the charts back in the 70s, two or three different big hits, rising. I remember I'm trying to remember who it was. It wasn't Waylon Jennings, it was one of the others, came in when he was cutting one of his records here at RCA in Nashville and said, "Who the blankety blank is that?" And they said, "That's Brian Shaw, he's an up-and-coming star." They said, he said, "Well, I wanted to know who the blankety blankety blank sounds so much like me." And others that were going on. So I'm not bragging, I'm just saying this is what was going on. And yet these men will tell you now, my Uncle Brian, who recently got a hold of a book that has transformed his life called Destined to Reign by Joseph Prince. After 5 or 6 marriages, a life that is absolutely riddled, he had a permanent lung issue and a number of other things. God has done a miracle in my Uncle Brian well into his 60s, as today, in spite of all the wrecks, he has laid hold on the goodness and the beauty of God's grace and love. He doesn't just give you a second and a third chance. He gives you whatever it takes because he loved you eternally before you ever had anything to do with it. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? But listen, I'm not picking on any kind of music. That's why I went to two extremes. Are you with me? Words are powerful. Proverbs says that a whisperer, if some of us Spirit-filled people would learn how important this is. A whisper separates the chiefest of friends. If you don't know what to say sometimes, just don't say it at all. Speak, as Paul said, that which gives grace to the hearer. Are you with me today? It's so easy to fall back into that. We get into situations, we become impassioned, we become frustrated, and before we know it, we've fallen into an old rut. But how many would join me in a profession of faith today? I'm getting out of the rut. Come on, are you here today? I can do all things. Come on, are you here today? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is my strength. He is my salvation. I'm not falling in that rut anymore. I'm letting him help me with what's coming out of my mouth. Are you here today? Amen. Don't sit there and take this as condemnation. Nobody's pointing a finger at you. I'm telling you, the just, that is the righteous because of the love of God, are free now to live in a supernatural way called the way of faith. Amen. He said, man, this is like deja vu from 2 months ago. You betcha it is. You betcha it is. Absolutely. So let's continue. I lost my place. Where'd we go? Okay, here we go. It's not important only, it's not just important what you say, but how many know it's also important what you don't say then? That's what we're talking about. According to Mark 11:23, you can get into as much trouble about what you don't say as what you do say. Now, let's look at Mark 11:23. Let's go back there. So Jesus is getting ready to teach him some things. And he says in Mark chapter 11, look at verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, And I'm reading out of the King James. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Listen to what Jesus says. Let's all read that last phrase there together. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Read it one more time. He shall have whatsoever he saith. One more time. He shall have whatsoever he saith. That's the word of God. According to Mark 11:23, you can get in as much trouble. Now listen to what he says. He says, you'll have whatever you say, and if you are silent, listen close. Some of you ought to be writing this down. If you're silent in some areas of your faith, somebody put it this way, where you are silent in your faith, you lose by default. For faith was designed to operate with the spoken word. How were we born again? We confessed with our mouths and we believed with our heart that Jesus was the Son of God in this, that he was raised from the dead. How many have made that profession of faith? Aren't you glad for the miracle that it has brought in our lives? Amen. Some of us have learned a few things about faith, so we know not to say negative things, but we're not, some of us though are not speaking what we should say, what we believe. If you're going to go somewhere with your faith, you must speak out what you believe. Now I realize we've been hitting this for a lot of weeks, but we're going to dig a little deeper. It is important not to be silent. Verse 20, the disciples were impressed. Listen close. These are just very, very simple truths, but I want you to hear it with fresh ears. Verse 20, we see that the disciples were impressed with the words of Jesus. Because what he said, don't miss this, what he said here happened over there. What he said here happened over there. You can't get any simpler than that. What you say here today can have an effect over there. Next week, next month, next year, your grandbaby's salvation, that job that you've been believing God for, whatever your situation, whatever your struggle, whatever's going on in your body, whatever it is that you're fighting, the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on. We're going to look at that scripture one more time. But here's the deal. What we say here, this is what Jesus showed us. He said, what he said, we look at, we examine scripture, what he said here happened over there. They were amazed at the effect of his words. Master, look, the tree which you cursed is withered away. It's withered up. It's dried up. They marveled at the effect of his words. This was said about Jesus throughout his ministry. One of the most impressive things about the ministry of Jesus was not the donkey he rode, not his hair, or how nice his sandals were. Are you here today? They marveled at the words with which he spake. Everywhere he went, they marveled at what came out of his mouth. When he spoke, things changed. John 7, chapter 46, John chapter 7, verse 46, says that the officers, the religious leaders said, no man ever spake like this man. Nobody ever spoke like this guy. This guy's different than all the rest. Again, John 6, 63 that we referenced while we were just worshiping, Jesus says, my words are spirit. Are you here today? My words are spirit and they're life. How many have experienced one word from Jesus that changed your life forever? I could stand up here and bore you for hours. One word in a struggle, one word from him made all the struggle. I was trying, I was believing God, I was getting people. I got on the prayer chain. I did everything. But all it took was one word, a fraction of a second. God spoke to my heart. I turned on my heel, completely healed of a blood disorder. Right now. Bam! One word. Because I had been standing, believing, trusting Him, knowing that He was faithful. And He honored that. He set up a trigger of faith in which in an instant when He spoke, I knew. He said, Lee, what are you worried about? The amount of money it will take for the medicine. And you say you're trusting me for the disease. That quick, a word from heaven, He showed me He can provide for that piece of cake. And in one foul swoop, I don't know how or when it happened, but in an instant I knew beyond knowing that God had already done a miracle in my body, attested and confirmed. I'm glad for Jesus today. Amen. Okay? So here's the thing. When He spoke, man, it was different. No man, they said, they marveled. No man spoke like Him. They were blown away by the effect of His words. What He said changed a fig tree over there. You got something staring you in the face and taunting you. Supposed to be the answer to your needs, supposed to be a provision, supposed to supply happiness or provision on any level, but is standing there taunting you. There comes a point where you need to open up your mouth and you need to begin to say some things. As we said last week, finishing up, we have located the problem, ladies and gentlemen. It's under our nose. Faith works with words. It's how it always works. They marveled, and His response to them was, you. Point to your neighbor, tap him on the shoulder, point at him, say, you have faith in God. See, if Jesus says, have faith in God, listen, that means that He has already given. It's a foregone conclusion that I have the ability to believe God, to have faith in what He can do. Can you say amen? All right? I can have faith. Listen, His response to them in all of this was, hey guys, you seen what happened? You have faith in God. And Jesus, rather than keeping Himself, listen, this is so vitally important, rather than keeping Himself in a class by Himself. In other words, He didn't say, hey guys, wasn't that cool? That's a trick the Father showed me many years ago in heaven. But it's just for us. It's a deity trick. It's something to just show you how powerful I am. But don't you do this, because if you start thinking this way and talking this way, you'll think you can do anything. This is dangerous. You need to be careful with this. This is for me. I just wanted to show you a little trick. He didn't do that. He didn't keep that to Himself. Listen to what's going on here. He didn't say, you see what I just did, that fig tree? Cool trick, huh? Let's move on. He said, let me show you something. You can have faith in God like that, and like Jesus always does in my life now. He doesn't just tell me something. He shows me how. How many know He is a faithful brother, savior, deliverer, rewarder, restorer, my first love? How many are glad for Jesus today? He doesn't just say, do it. He tells us how. He's the one who said, man, guys, it's important for me to get out of here in the physical aspect. It's expedient for me that I must go. In the book of John, He says, I got to get out of here because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. It's important for me to go so that I can send the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you and bring to your remembrance that which I have taught you. He will lead you. He will guide you. The Comforter. How many are glad today for the Comforter? Three of you. How many are glad today for the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. I told that story last week, how that the state has a new program, a school program. Do you remember that? A schoolmaster. They could not, even the pros from Phoenix came up here, they could not figure out what was going on with the computer program You guys heard this last week. Others weren't here. I'll tell it to you again. And my wife went to bed praying in the Spirit and saying, Jesus, I know you have the answer for this. In the middle of the night, she went to sleep praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, resting. During the night, she had what she thought was a dream, and she's sitting at her desk at the school right over here. At that time, she worked for Heritage Middle School. And she saw someone come and stand over her shoulder, and she knew internally it was Jesus. And she watched as his hand reached in over her hands and hit keystrokes and showed her everything. And she said, just like that, I'm telling you, a real story happened right here. There are people, Mormon principal Scott Muir and others that were there, Julie, I can't think of her last name. They will attest to this day, they don't understand it. But they were there when it happened. It blew their minds. She sat down. She said, I've got the answer to the problem we've been fighting with for weeks. They said, you do? She's a receptionist. She helped the scheduler. This isn't her. She goes, I have the problem. They said, what are you talking about? She said, Jesus showed it to me last night in a dream. Seriously. They said, what are you doing? They all come around the desk. She sat down, boom, 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 just like she had said. And whoop, a problem they couldn't fix in Phoenix was fixed right here at Heritage Middle School. Listen, I'm here to encourage you. You got the same Jesus on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit. But here's how you activate the power of God. Faith always must have a voice. It is voice activated. You got born again that way, and you live that way. Can I pound it a little bit deeper? Oh, man. Jesus actually encouraged them, to have faith in God. One translation puts it this way. Where Jesus says in Mark 11:23, have faith in God, one translation puts it this way. There are many translations, but I love this because when you go to the original, it's there. Just as much as what is there in the King James. It says this, lay hold on God's faithfulness. Talking to the disciples. Saying, guys, lay hold on God's faithfulness. How many know he is faithful? Come on, are you here today? How many know God is faithful? How many know he is reliable? How many know you can trust him? You can take his word to the bank? His word is forever settled in heaven. Aren't you glad for that? 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul telling Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. In doing so, you'll lay hold now on eternal blessing. Lay hold on eternal life. John said, we have, not gonna have, we have now eternal life in us. Paul said in Ephesians 1, we are blessed already with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Speaking through Peter, we have been blessed already. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been freely given to us through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his Son. How many are glad for good things on the inside of us? That's why Philemon 1:6 can declare that our faith is made effectual by the acknowledging of all the good. You didn't know you had good in you. You better start believing you do, because what God did on the inside of you when you confess Jesus as your Lord is miraculous. The new creation. You said, but man, I've been a wreck. I have messed up. I've been a horrible example. It doesn't change what he did on the inside of you. Maybe somebody hasn't taught you how to renew your mind to what you became inside when you received Jesus. So many organizations, their main thing is to preach salvation every Sunday. But after somebody gets saved, they're on their own. And after they have a few battles and a few falls and a few mess ups, they abandon their, in their mind, they abandon their faith, and they say it must not have been real, but they can never get over what happened inside. Before there was no war, now there is a war that Paul speaks of, because there's a new man. When we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior with heart belief and say, I believe you died for me, I believe you are the Son of God, God is faithful to his word, faithful to his promise, faithful to respond to faith, and the Bible says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Aren't you glad for that? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's why I addressed Bob Weir. Years of knowing the Lord, yet confused, struggling with addiction, struggling with confusion. He'll tell you his own testimony. Get ready. It's going to happen on a Wednesday. He'll tell you his own testimony of the life-giving power of God. And one day he heard a message that said, there's nothing wrong with the inside of you because that happened. That's why you have a battle. What you need to do is get renewed between the ears about what the Word of God says about you. And his life was transformed. He was born again a long time ago, but he didn't begin to walk in the fullness of that new life until somebody took the time to disciple him and say, here's how it works. There was no battle before. It was only after he confessed Jesus. Now there was a battle because he didn't know how to deal with, I'm different inside, but I'm a wreck on the outside. In fact, I'm worse on the outside than I was before. And other people would look at it and say, he didn't get saved. How many are glad for Hebrews 13:5? Come on, you guys ought to be able to speak this with me. Here's what Hebrews 13:5 says. How many can remember? Hebrews 13:5. Behold, I will, come on, Hebrews 13:5. You ought to be writing these down. You ought to know these by heart, people. Hebrews 13:5, behold, I will never. I dove into the middle of the verse. There's some other words there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you can boldly say, not timidly, not hanging on by a string, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do to me. You say, why do you repeat so much, Pastor Lee? Because of what just happened. I want this to be your message. It's not just his love to you and in you. His desire is his love through you. How many know we got a job to do in Chino and in the Quad City area? And religion that will only help you cope only lasts so long. But when they hit a wall, they're going to be looking for strength and stability and somebody who has some battle scars but can stand and say, man, I've been shipwrecked. Man, I've been starved. Man, I've been under it. The devil has had me down for the 8 count, but something supernatural happened on the 7 because I've never seen his promises, the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I believe that he is faithful and true. You all right with us today? Okay, let's get back to words. How many know he's faithful? He's reliable. He's trustworthy. So how do we lay hold of his faithfulness? He tells us how in verse 23. People, this is not, it's your Bible. Look at your Bible. I know that in the room, because of where many of us have come from and from many different points of view and references and on and on and on, that it's very easy to hear this theme and just check out. I know what's coming next. This is that, you see it on the internet, WOF in big capitals, like it's an organized cult that is out to get your money, W-O-F. That's not what we're doing here. I'm showing you the way Jesus handled his own, his closest. These men would go through a transformation, be filled with the Holy Ghost, preach the gospel around the world, and ultimately every one of them but John would give their lives for this great gospel. And it is to these precious, his own, like you and I are now. Are you with me? He's saying, here is how you lay hold on God's faithfulness. Here's how. Not just have this, figure it out, grunt, strain, fast, cry out, go to as many revivals as you can, go to the next big event in Phoenix or Brownsville, do everything you can in your... He said, no, you want to act like me, you want to have that kind of faith, here's what it looks like. I'm very glad for Jesus. Here's what it looks like. He makes it very clear. He said, whosoever, and I'm so glad for the word whosoever. That means it doesn't matter who. Come on, are you here today? Are you a whosoever? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall say. If I were to ask in here, and we're just about out of time, if I were to ask you in here, even after all the weeks that we spent, and this is not a criticism, it's something. If I were sitting in your chair right now, unaware, didn't know where the preacher was going to come from, didn't know where he was coming from, didn't know where he was going next, and he were to face me with this question, I would be right with you probably. Because it's one of those, you don't mean it as a trick question. You don't mean it that way at all, but for the sake of teaching, you're bringing out a truth that's simple, but how many know not so simple? It's deep. So here's the question. If I were to ask you in here today, after all the time we've spent on faith over the last couple of months, I were to ask you, what is faith? And how does it work? What is faith? Most of you in here, now we got a few that have been around this a while, so you kind of got a leg up on some of this. You probably might go to the right spot, but I would say that 80 to 90% of you in here, if I were to ask you, what is faith, you would say it is believing God. Trusting God. You went through Bible school. It's not fair. Trusting God, believing God. That would be the first thing that would come out of your mouth. Yes, that is absolutely part of faith. But I want you to look at the first thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth. It's not believing. And I'd say, I would dare say that Jesus is probably, I don't know how many of you in here would agree with me, he's probably an expert on faith. For by him, the world was framed. And the first thing that he says is not believing or trusting. They're saying, how does this work? He says, have faith in God, and here's how it works. And the first thing that he says is not believing, it's saying something. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul quoting David in Psalms 116 or 18. I don't remember which right now. It's in my notes. You can look for it yourself. He's quoting David and he says, we believe, therefore we speak. It's always there. God framed the worlds with the spoken word. Where do you think the devil is going to attack you the most? Your mouth. He's going to put pressure. Listen, everybody say with me, pressure. 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 Listen. There is a very real pressure on you, the believer who loves Jesus, who loves God. Your desire is to be used of him, to be a representative of him. There is a very real pressure that is always there. That's why it's called the good fight of faith, to pressure you to say some things, or to pressure you not to say some things. You ever heard the phrase, suffer in silence? Pressure. The God of this world pressures the saints, and he starts right here. He will cause conflict, family conflict, something that makes you angry on teeth. Everything is to try to put pressure, to force words to come out of your mouth, because he knows. Listen, the devil is okay. He, a silent believer, does not bother him. Can I let that sink in a minute? A silent believer, one who does not speak out with boldness. I was talking about Val this morning. He said, it's a whole new thing. I'm starting to get bold at my job, no matter where I'm at, to begin to open my mouth and to begin to say some things. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, there's power in your words. He doesn't mention believing until the middle of the verse. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart the things which he says, but he believes what he says, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he will have whatever he says. This isn't just taking a cheap shot and seeing if it works. There's a mountain. Okay, let's try this. Shoot, man, nothing happened. This is a lifestyle of, I don't care what it looks like, mountain, you got to go. Daily, it's impossible. I'm hurting, I'm in pain, everything around me, but I'm going. Listen, it's called an attitude of faith. I believe. How many know your attitude determines everything? If you're a critic, you're going to pay the price of a critic. It's sad. It's amazing the way the message of faith offends. It's amazing the way the message of faith causes the critic to open his mouth and speak against the very thing that Jesus said. This is where the power breaks loose. Some of you young guys and gals can already begin to say, I believe God's word. That if I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. I don't need the cheap counterfeit of pornography or a girl on my arm stating who I am. I don't need the cheap counterfeits that the world offers. I'm beginning right now to declare that the strange woman has no place in my life. This is Proverbs. Read the book. Young people, read the book of Proverbs. Read what that young man, what that man pens. Listen to what he says. Believe that God supplies all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And they that wait upon the Lord, are you here today? Those who delight in his word, Psalms 1, 1 through 3, the last part of that says, whatever they do will prosper. How many of you young people are already saying, I thank you, Lord, for a supernatural marriage. I thank you for the right mate. I'm believing, I'm confessing. I know the right one's coming along. I thank you for a marriage that's solid. I thank you for babies that grow up in a home where there's peace and worship and great things. And listen, if you're on round 2 or 3, it's never too late to start. Begin to open your mouth and declare the blessing of God right down the middle of your home, in yourself, as a father, as a mother, whatever your place is, trust God and speak the word, because the pressure is always there to say the wrong thing or to shut you up. Speak to your mountain. This is a process, and continue to speak. Notice, saying is mentioned 3 times to believing once. That doesn't mean that saying is more important than believing. Absolutely not. Because if you say and you don't believe, it's moot anyway. But he's saying our struggle. Look at the word of God. Everything's put there for a reason. Our struggle in this life is going to be more with saying. We doing okay? with this? We're just getting started. Not today, I promise. We're almost done today with the faith thing. So the speaking part of faith, you might want to write this down. So the speaking part of faith is essential to faith. It's essential to faith. Paul and Silas, Acts 16, we're not going to turn there for time because we're already later than I wanted to be today. Acts 16, Paul and Silas are jailed, whipped, scourged, in chains, in bonds, in a prison. And what did they begin to do? It says that at midnight, they were heard singing praises. Do you know what praises are in that context? Do you know what they were doing? Do you know what they probably were doing? Singing the Psalms of David about God's deliverance, His goodness, His greatness. Praising is you acknowledging His goodness, His power, His greatness. It is a confession of faith. The battle ain't over. We may be busted up right now, but deliverance is right around the corner. And at midnight, they were heard singing praises unto God. And suddenly, there was a mighty earthquake. Prison doors flew open. Their bands were loose. And they got the heck out of Dodge. They ran out of there scared. We got out of here. Let's go. They hung around to lead people to Jesus because they know the end is greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. What's going on with your mouth? I'm talking to Lee. What's going on with my mouth? Do I have an attitude of faith or does my attitude stink? Am I letting pressure affect my attitude and my attitude is forcing words out that the more and more they're repeated, the more and more the track is laid down for that direction in my life? Would you agree with me today? Not me. Not me. Come on, say it out loud. Not me. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going there anymore. Grace is mine. Peace is mine. I'm going to make a difference. How many are glad for Jesus today? My dad, and I'll end with this. My dad drew a whitetail tag for you hunters. He was not successful. He was very close three times. He had a couple of times when he saw the deer and the deer saw him, but didn't smell him. And he couldn't get in position. It was a tough, tough hunt in Unit 8. And there was another time where the deer heard him. He tried to make an adjustment with the gun. The deer heard him and turned and then looked right at him and still didn't move. But when the wind changed, he was out of there. There's a popular hunting magazine that says that the whitetail buck and many wild animals, but in this case, speaking of whitetail, they said that he lives by his nose. And they made the statement, I don't know who does these studies or whatever, but they made this blanket statement, three things. They said a deer will look at you three times. Generally, they'll see you, look at you three times and not move. They'll hear you twice. And many of them won't move. But when they smell you, they're gone. The whitetail buck lives by his nose. Here's the rap. He doesn't live by what he sees. He doesn't live by what he hears. He lives by what he smells. Let me know that what you smell like will get you in trouble in the woods and in many other places. What do you smell like? What's the fragrance of your life? Is it somebody who suffers in silence? Or is it somebody, although you may be in a battle, heard down in the middle of the storm is, I know that He is able. This too shall pass. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I refuse to be bitter and to look around. I'm more than a conqueror. It may look like I'm being counted for the slaughter, but victory is mine, for I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. Quoting the blessing that was given to us, I am above and not beneath in Deuteronomy. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed coming in and going out. I know that my Redeemer, as Job said, lives. He cried out for a mediator, and a guy named Elihu shows up. A perfect picture of Jesus, I believe, as we taught a long time ago, a Christophany. For he spoke of what he said as being perfect as God. Job repents at the end of the book. You remember the story? Isn't that a powerful truth? What's coming out of our mouth? David said, let the meditation of my heart, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing. Is it okay if we just keep hammering on this a little bit more? Because little by little, more and more and more, it becomes less of a Sunday morning event in which you heard a good message which challenged you a little bit, maybe stepped on your toes, mine included. And as you hear it more and more, after a while, along about Wednesday, the pressure comes. But because of teaching, you go, I was warned. I almost said it, but I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm changing the course, the direction of my life. My home will be different. My attitude's going to be different. My direction is going to be different. I hear the words of Jesus. Have faith in God. Trust the faithfulness of God. And here is how. Begin to open your mouth and talk to your mountain. Somebody put it this way. I don't know who said it or where they got it from, but boy, is it good. It says, your voice is your address in the Spirit. Did you hear that? Your voice is your address in the Spirit. I don't have time again this week, but think of Daniel who begins to pray and words break out of a prison cell through the ceiling, up through the atmosphere, into the upper heavens, to the throne of God and in God's ear. And an angel stands before Daniel and he says, I have come for the words of thy mouth. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Right now, let's do an exercise, shall we? Let's stand to our feet today. I don't expect you to do this out loud. But everybody in here has a battle you're facing. Everybody in here has a battle. That's why we're here. Everybody in here has a battle you're facing. Now, we always have an altar area that's open. I'd love to lead you to Jesus. Love to lead you into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've seen people just really have tremendous answers to prayer. We always have that available. When we dismiss today, these altars will remain open as we continue to worship. Our prayer partners will be here to pray with you along with myself. All of that. But you don't want to know the greatest thing that a believer can get a hold of is that you, every day, don't wait. Don't be a Catholic. And I'm not picking on the Catholic. Don't wait till Mass on the weekend. You right now stand by the blood in the presence of God, the throne of grace. Are you with me? Say, God bless the Catholics. I'm not picking on the Catholics. I got good born-again Catholic brothers, believe it or not. Don't criticize, pray for them. But many of them have this mentality like Pentecostals do. How about that? We're going to get saved on Sunday. We're going to get it right on Sunday. Uh-uh. Every day, my confession of faith before God is thank you that the blood was enough. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Father, I thank you that you've already forgiven. I receive that forgiveness. I receive victory today. I believe that your word is true in spite of me. Are you here today? I want you to do an exercise today all over the room. Forget about who's around you. You may want to close your eyes. You may not. But take that one big thing And would you today? It's okay to whisper because we're in public. But would you right now start something that will continue this week and begin to speak to that issue? You got a problem in your body? Find out what the Word of God says. His Word says that by His stripes we are healed. His Word says He sent His Word and delivered them, healed them and delivered them from their destruction. His Word says how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. His Word says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Word says, if thou wilt, I will be whole. His Word says, all things are possible to him that believe. His Word says, my God shall supply all my needs. That's the basic area, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His Word says, he is my peace. He has brought, you notice we did this last week and the week before. I'm trying to help set a course in your life that you would open. So listen, all over the room, would you look at that problem right in the face, see it as a mountain and say, Jesus, I submit to you today. I'm opening up my mouth and I'm looking at you, cancer, and I'm saying, no, you don't. I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm looking at you, lack. You have been, the wolf has been at my door long enough. I'm pulling out the shotgun of the Word of God and saying, you got to go. In the meantime, we're listening to the Holy Spirit as He tells us what we got to do. What adjustments we need to make. Are you here today? How many know that He is with us? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. Say with me, great is my peace. My children will be taught of the Lord. Because of this righteousness now fulfilled in Jesus. Come on, oppression. Some of you need to open your mouth. You're being plagued with depression. And listen, it's your own fault. God has provided freedom. He loves you. Superabounding grace. You need to open your mouth and talk to oppression. Say, you have no right in my life, in my home. You got to move. I'm tired of moving for you. You got to go. Open your mouth. What do you smell like? Woo, let's smell like the Word of God. I think it's interesting. Three times the devil came to Jesus, and he didn't just suffer in silence. On the cross, he did for you and I. On the cross, he was a meek and a quiet lamb, fully submitting. Submitting out of love for you and I. Oh, but when it came to the enemy, he opened his mouth and he said, let me tell you something. It is written over and over. It is written until the devil said, it's time to go. I'm getting nowhere with this guy. Notice it took three times. He didn't just say it one time. Don't just talk to your mountain one time. You keep talking to your mountain. You keep telling your mountain how great your God is. Are you here today? Say with me, I believe. Come on, all over the room. Say it like you mean it. I believe. Therefore, I speak. His word in my mouth is forever settled in heaven. T.L. Osborne said the Lord spoke to him, and he said, T.L., I want you to know something. My word in your mouth is as powerful as my word in my mouth. Believe it and speak the word of God. And we're just getting started. How do you stop? Just stop. Let's lift our hands together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for great and exceeding precious promises that are not just tucked away somewhere in silence to help me get through. But as I begin to rehearse and remember and speak and flow with the mouth that God has given me to utter the promises of God. I refuse to be quiet. As Paul and Silas, when I don't know what else to do, when everything's upside down and backwards, I will declare, you are my healer. You are my deliverer. You are my strength giver. You are my life. You are my all in all. You are my rewarder. You have not forgotten me. I declare your goodness. Woo! And suddenly, come on, get ready, people. Some of you have a suddenly coming up. It's about time. It's about time. The devil has intimidated you and backed you into the corner and shut your mouth. And that's all he needs to do is shut your mouth. But I'm telling you this morning, some of you need to open up your mouth and shout out, He is good. I don't care what it looks like. His word is true. I'm more than a conqueror. Some of you need to do a little shouting going home. Listen, let me tell you something. Real faith is not pretty. Naaman, 7 times in a muddy, nasty river. A blind man with spittle and mud mixed and stuck in his eyes. A lot of the church today is looking for a pretty, safe faith. Let me tell you something. Real faith is not pretty and it's not safe, but it's powerful. Open up your mouth and declare His goodness. Make some noise. Quit worrying about what other people think. Don't let their pressure shut you up another day. Open your mouth and declare the goodness of God. I heard somebody say, well, that's okay for you, Pastor Lee, but that's not my personality. Let me tell you something. I was crucified with Christ, raised unto new life. That old man no longer dictates who I am. You fired up?
Yeah.
Then I don't want to mess it up. Get out of here quick. You're dismissed in the grace of Jesus. Stay fired up. Open your mouth and we're going to get into it more. Altars are open. Prayer partners, where are you at? We're here to pray with you, agree with
how
you, lead you into relationship with Jesus. God bless you, Jacob.
Our God.
How great is our God?
Sing with me.
Yes.
How great is our God? All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great, how great. Our God,
name above,
You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. My heart.